Good evening. It's 6:35. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Ed Ronco, and tonight we're talking about education, specifically how the two people in our studio right now hope to impact education in Sitka. It is the third and final call-in forum for our municipal elections. Cass Pook and Jennifer Robinson are running for school board. Cass has been on the board since 2002, and her name will appear on the ballot. Jennifer is running as a write-in candidate, and there are two seats open. Two candidates, two seats. It is not a competitive race, but the school board has an impact on the community that we don't want to look past here. They supervise an $18 million general fund budget, and they set the rules and policies that determine how your children are educated. So tonight, it's your turn. If you have a question for the school board candidates, you can get our attention any number of ways. You can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can visit our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/ravenradio. You can tweet your questions if you're into that kind of thing. Twitter address is @ravenradio. And you can, of course, just give us a call and ask your question right here on the air. The number 747-5877. As we've said the last two nights, we want to let you know tonight's event is not a debate. It's a question and answer panel. It's your chance to find out how these people would serve in office. Before we start in on questions, I'm going to ask the candidates to tell us just a little bit about themselves. And Cass, let's begin with you. Tell us a little bit about your yourself and your history on the school board.
Well, when I started on the school board, I had five children in the Sitka School District. Three are now graduated. I still have two in school. And my main purpose for being on the school board is to advocate for students to have a better education.
And Jennifer, a little bit about you and why you're running for school board.
Well, I have two children in the school system. My son, Caleb, he's going to Blatchley Middle School. He's eighth grade this year. And then my daughter, Krista, whom I hope you're listening, Krista, was misrepresented. She's actually a junior this year. She's not a sophomore. So, so she's at Sitka High. And they're two really great kids. And I've been involved in their education pretty significantly when they were younger. I actually homeschooled them for a while. Not real long, just long enough to realize that I have a huge appreciation for teachers. And then after that, was real involved in their classroom. And now that they're older, this is a way for me to re-engage in their education.
All right. And the record will be corrected. So,
I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. Before we get into questions, we want to let you know tonight's session is an abbreviated show. We're going to be off the air at about 7:25 and back to regular programming. As it turns out, there's a school-related meeting to get to, so we don't want to keep school board candidates from any school-related meetings. I want to begin with a question that came in over Facebook before we get into individual pieces of district policy. And this is a question about the recent bomb threat that was made against Sitka schools. It was an unspecified threat. It didn't specify what building or anything. It was received Thursday after students went home for the day. A search turned up nothing. School happened as usual on Friday. Parents weren't notified until Friday. And we had one parent leave a question about that on our Facebook page. She says she would have kept her son home the next day if she'd known about the phone call that night. And so she wanted to know if it happens again, what should the district do? And Cass, let's begin with you. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that they're probably working on it already. I would turn it over to the police department and their expertise. It did concern me. And you learn from going through things like this how to prepare better the next time. And that's what I would do.
Jennifer, if that call comes in again, what should the district do?
I feel strongly that parents have a right to know when there's a threat against our schools, and I will do my part to make sure that in the future they are notified. I have two children, like I said, in Sitka schools, and learning about a bomb threat while reading the newspaper was a bit surprising, to say the least. With that said, I also want to make known that I am confident that the Sitka police, along with our Sitka School District employees, do put the safety of our children above all else. I do not believe that the decision to keep the schools open after a threat is one that was made lightly. And if there was any concern over the welfare of our children, I have no doubt that they would have closed the schools for the day. The decision to close the school for the day is one that the school administration has to make. However, I believe that ultimately it should be the parents who decide if their children will attend.
All right. Thanks. We have a question from Stephen via email, and I'm just going to read it directly. And Jennifer, this one will start with you. We'll alternate who starts. Committing to seeing that our children get necessary exposure to appropriate technology is important, Stephen says. But he goes on to write, in a climate where software updates yearly or faster and devices are obsolete within months, I can attest to that with my cell phone, was a massive investment in Promethean boards the wisest possible use of dozens of thousands of dollars, he writes. He wants to know, as large pieces of hardware that will likely be underused in many classrooms and will frequently be treated as glorified projectors, could this money have been better spent on software, student computers, or other technology that would be used more actively by learners to create instead of consume? Stephen obviously has some strong feelings on the Promethean boards. Jennifer, what do you say to that?
Well, I believe it was stated on the radio Tuesday that I unapologetically support technology in our classrooms, and this is true. I understand that this is a controversial issue, but it is one that I feel very strongly about. The way that our children connect and engage continues to change as technology advances. He's right there. It's vital that we provide them with the tools that they need to learn in today's global classroom. And I believe that we're doing our children a disservice to provide anything less. And I suppose the best way to address that particular question, it is vital that as we roll out this new technology in our classrooms, that we're providing our teachers with the training that they need to use it effectively so that the investment is not a waste. And finally, I do want to say that there is a balance, and there are many areas of a well-rounded education that should not or cannot be replaced by technology. And I think teachers is probably it is absolutely the highest example of that.
Casbook, on technology, could the money on Promethean boards have been better spent on other things?
At the time, no. That's what we had money for. We did consider laptops one-to-one, but the cost was even greater than the Promethean boards. We had done a lot of consulting. And this is not just the way that the Sitka School District is going. This is the way the state of Alaska is going. This is going to go before the legislature and the governor on how we're going to prepare our kids with technology. It's not my world. I'm not comfortable with it, let alone understand a lot of it. But it is our kids' world and the way they learn. And I think it's just the way we're going, whether we're comfortable with it or not.
A follow-up for both of you, and Jennifer, we'll start with you again and then switch when we move on to another question, but another subject. But there was some criticism of the school district this last budget go-round that more generally technology money could have been better spent elsewhere in the district. This last question was kind of about other pieces of technology that might have been better investments. But should the district be willing to dip into tech funding when it's seeing budget cuts in other areas, when times are tight?
I think that there's definitely going to be a priority. Like I said, there's, technology doesn't replace everything. Teachers are vitally important. So we always need to look at the big picture. But technology definitely needs to be kept at the forefront. It's an absolute necessary part of education these days if we want our children to be competitive in this.
Yeah, Cass? Technology versus other parts of the budget.
Well, it's one of our goals. It has been for the past 3 years in our board goal setting. Technology is on the top of the list. So I know that our focus is going to continue to be in technology.
All right. So the board staying the course on that particular
Correct.
Goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. The number to call, 747-5877. If you have a question for either of the school board candidates, Cass Pook or Jennifer Robinson. Let's see here. Let's talk about math a little bit. The Sitka schools embarked on a math audit this year. The results said that there needs to be better communication within the district about how math is taught. Cass, let me ask you first, how useful did you find the math audit, and what would you like to see happen with math education here in Sitka?
The math audit was very helpful. We had our work session last night, and I talked about our first step as far as whether we're going to adopt the Alaska standards or Common Core. The language was above my head. We had to ask a few times. It wasn't just me, but other people in the meeting to kind of simplify the language so that community members can understand what are we looking at as far as a timeline on curriculum change or adjustments. I felt it was very helpful.
And one of the things I think that we were talking about is it's not an overnight change.
No, it's not going to be a quick fix. When we first started this, I in my own mind thought, oh, maybe we're looking at a year or 2 years down the road. Well, that's a quick fix. As the meetings go on, we'll get more definition on the timeline and just what we're looking at, depending on if we adopt the Common Core or the Alaska standards. There's already, I think, 5 districts in Alaska that have chosen Common Core. So,
Common Core standards are a national set of standards for educational achievement based on grade levels, and a lot of states are adopting them. Statewide, Alaska's not yet one of them, just for listeners who might be kind of wondering Common Core versus the state standards.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. Jennifer, same question to you. Math audit, how useful, and your thoughts in general on math education here in Sitka?
I think this is the question I have been asked. Well, I know this is the question I have been asked more than any other. And we do need a math curriculum that works for our students, and we certainly do not want them taking remedial classes when they go off to college. I do know that it's been shown that children lose retention after even just a summer break. And with our district only requiring 2 years of math, if our students have a 2-year gap in math before going off to college, that lack of exposure can cause problems. So there are more factors to consider than just what we're using as far as core math or a different curriculum. Core math does work for many of our students, but for some, it's definitely challenging or not working. And I know that the board has reviewed the math audit and will now be looking, like Cass was saying, at new standards for the school district to implement. And I also know that a team of dedicated math experts will be helping with that process, I understand. So that's also encouraging. I've also learned that the new Alaska state standards will be more rigorous than before. And so there probably will be some changes that need to happen, I think, in order to meet those new standards. And so the delivery method, such as core math, might end up having to change. So
the math audit was prepared by 3 researchers from Texas A&M University, and a large part of their narrative when they wrote out the report dealt with parents' experiences, talking to their students about math, helping with homework, all of those things. In fact, they interviewed several parents, had some focus groups to get their concerns. And there were parents of varying abilities, varying skill levels in math. One, an engineer, who said, I'm having trouble helping my student with math. Have you heard those concerns, Jennifer Robinson, or even experienced them?
I have, yes. And I have experienced them. My kids are old enough now that I don't know if it matters what math they're in. I have a hard time helping them. And that's even after I just completed Math 107. So I think perhaps my retention on math is worse than a high school student. But it is challenging. I know Caleb brought home, he's in 8th grade, and they've put him in core math this year, which is going to be interesting. So we'll see how it goes. I'm proud of them. But that's actually why I'm going to the school tonight, is for a meeting on that. But he was reading through the list of instruction, or I guess his syllabus for the year. And, when he started throwing out words like trigonometry, and I'd got a little bit nervous. So we'll see how I deal with it this year.
Fair enough. Cass Pook, what kind of feedback have you heard from parents or even experienced yourself when it comes to helping a student with math?
Similar situations like Jennifer just mentioned. It doesn't matter if you didn't do well in math or whether you're a doctor or an engineer, the homework comes home and it's not parent friendly. And that's frustrating. If your child gets it and they can do the math on their own, That's great. But what do you do when you can't help your child at home and they fall behind? Because there's only a number of limited hours or minutes before and after school that a teacher can work with a student to give them the extra help they need in math.
We're talking with the two candidates for Sitka School Board, Cass Pook and Jennifer Robinson. If you have a question for them, you can go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/Raven Radio. You can give us a call, 747-5877. We'll be here until just before 7:30. And we have George on the line with a question. Good evening, George. You're on the air.
Good evening. Thank you. Hey, I'm listening to both of you over the Internet. I'm sitting up here in Wasilla. I had to move out of Sitka for employment. But it begs the question, how do the two of you view increasing the Internet access and working to get technology so that those students can enter a potentially lucrative field of employment?
We've talked a little bit about technology, and I think, George, your question sounds more to the point of how does what they learn in school, how's that going to prepare them for the world they're going to face? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I had a secondary question of the Edgecombe Pool, and what do they think, how will that benefit our Sitka School District? And I'll hang up and listen to the responses on the radio.
All right. Thanks, George. So let's begin with that first question. I think, Jennifer, it's your turn to start. Yes. So the first question, more to the point on technology, George wants to know what is taught in Sitka schools, in your view, will prepare students for the workforce or the world beyond school?
Well, I think it's very important that our children be, I guess, for lack of a better word, fluent in technology. They really need to have a solid understanding of it and ability to use it. There's not very many jobs or careers, certainly, that children can go into anymore that technology isn't a requirement. So I think that the stronger their skills are, the more likely to succeed they're going to be.
Cass Pook, what is technology going to do for students once they leave school?
I know with my own kids that have left Sitka, they do a lot through technology. Colleges, many of them now will have laptops for students that enter their freshman year. And there's also more students that are doing college online. There's more high schools that are offering long-distance education, like remote areas. And I think also in the Sitka area, it will help us having the technology to be able to take long-distance courses. I think we talked about that last year with the French, when we lost the French teacher. She had retired, and they grouped up online with the French class in another district. So it increases their education and access.
And especially in a remote place like Sitka, I mean, the connections to other communities and other opportunities. You see that happening, especially in smaller school districts. George's second question was about the Mount Edgecombe High School pool, and Cass, we'll stay with you for this one. There are plans in the works to put up a pool at Mount Edgecombe High School, which of course is not part of the Sitka School District, is run by the state. But how is a pool at Edgecombe possibly going to benefit the Sitka School District? George wants to know.
The way I see it benefiting Sitka students is Sitka has a swim team. Sitka High competes. It would add another sport for Mount Edgecombe High School to possibly compete with Sitka High School and not have to travel outside of Sitka. But I see it more as something that's going to benefit the community. We've had to close down the pool a few times, and in the future, if we have to close down the pool again, the swim teams would have access to being able to use the Mount Edgecombe pool, hopefully. The Coast Guard is also benefiting from it, and also the state troopers, which once Sheldon Jackson shut down, it was very hard for the troopers to be able to use the pool and the facilities there. So I think more it will open up opportunities for the community rather than the school.
So another opportunity out there. And Jennifer Robinson, same question to you. What impact does the Mount Edgecombe pool or benefit have for Sitka students? Impact or benefit?
Well, my understanding is it's an Olympic-sized pool, and I believe the only one in the state of Alaska that is an Olympic-sized pool. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what I've heard. So it really is a neat opportunity for Sitka. I think it's going to bring a lot of people here to utilize the pool, and we do have a very strong swim team in Sitka, so it's a pretty neat opportunity for our students to be able to use it.